Brendan.
Hello, Ellen.
And welcome to episode 100 of the Not a Thing podcast.
Wow, this is weird. This is very weird.
Who is that crazy voice?
I'm Skylar, and I will be your host, guest, host for this Not a Thing podcast.
Excellent. Excellent.
We're turning the tables on the hosts and interviewing them about their things and not things for once.
Yeah, this is fun. We decided kind of... So I think we always had that idea that we were going to do the podcast live. I mean, I guess we always do it live.
Yeah, we are live when we record.
Yes, that's a good point.
But not in the same locality. We are now actually recording in my wine country bunker together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All in the same room. That's not... Cool. No Google involved.
No.
Google can suck it today. I'm treating Google like Google Hangouts like Google has treated Google Hangouts. I'm dumping that department.
Complete dismissal.
For today.
Well, yeah, it's actually good that we don't do this regularly because I think on the way here, I was cursing life almost the entire way up. This is why we don't record in person.
On a weekly basis,
yeah. The traffic was a little obscene on the way here.
Would you say it wasn't a thing?
I would say that, in fact.
So we can safely say weekend traffic, not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Here we are, though, gentlemen. And we shall begin this with question one. Brendan, what is your thing?
This feels weird.
It's aggressive, huh?
It is. Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Oh, wow, do we do this to people?
Is this how it sounds? You listen to the podcast regularly.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It doesn't
that
sound
harsh,
like okay, good.
No, but you guys should be used to it. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, my thing is podcasts. I record a podcast.
Oh, fucking cheap.
Weak.
Okay, fine. Well,
that's good.
Let's take this into meta waters. Let's talk
I'm
about
totally
recording
kidding.
A podcast.
We're not, no,
podcast.
That is not my answer. I'm a person who, you know, my thing is media. You know, television, movies, video games. You know, the things that we talk about on our podcast. It's kind of why it started.
The finer screens of life.
Yeah, screen-based entertainment.
Screen-based entertainment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I do like the audio and the visual elements of both of those things, but, you know, yeah.
So, what's jamming? What's new and popping?
What's popping right now? For me, I think the most exciting jam I've had recently was the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Which a friend described as the Godfather 2 of 8 movies.
Oh, nice.
That was the recommendation I got going into it.
Nice.
And it lived up to the expectations.
Okay.
It was fun. If you're holding back because you don't want to see goofy looking apes, CGI is they've really made some strides forward these days.
Okay.
In CGI. there's a lot more emoting going on among the apes.
Did they have the Andy Serkis doing
Oh, yeah.
It?
Oh, they got, nice. Yes. They have the guy
the,
of motion
yeah,
capture.
Yeah, right.
The motion face.
And they've got Michael Giacchino doing the score, who's the John Williams of the 21st century.
Nice.
So.
Right on.
Sweet. Is there some proper chimp face tearing action?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I don't think it's spoiling much to say that there are apes and they have guns. Apes with guns.
Apes with guns.
Rampage.
Horses wow. yet?
Horses.
Horses. Nice.
Apes
yeah.
on horses
right.
with guns.
Right.
That's pretty good. Nets, perhaps?
I don't believe there were nets. Oh. There are cages.
Okay.
Right. But it's all set in San Francisco and the woods of Marin.
Oh.
So that was interesting
to
see.
A little close to home, then.
Yeah.
some local flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's fun to see. And, you know, nice to see a movie where the Golden Gate Bridge not destroyed.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the normal kind of progression of facts, the way
yeah.
I understand
sure.
it.
I mean, San Francisco's really taken a beating in cinema this year.
Yeah, Godzilla.
Between Godzilla and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Mm. Let them fight.
Yes. Let them fight.
So that, good.
I think Planet of the Apes has dethroned Godzilla as the most fun at the movies I've had this year so far.
Jesus.
I have high expectations for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Yeah, me too. Oh, man. with you on that one. That looks like comedy gold.
That James Gunn. If you haven't seen the movie Super, I highly recommend it.
Oh.
But just be prepared. You will be uncomfortable.
What's the fucking eat shit evil?
No, shut up, crime. And then hit him in the head with a pipe wrench.
Have you seen this?
I haven't.
Oh my. It's the most realistic and borderline the most disturbing superhero movie ever made.
Okay. Yeah,
Kevin Bacon is the bad guy.
Pretty
good.
Ellen Page is the sidekick.
Nice.
Rainn Wilson is
the
hero.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And James Gunn, he is a twisted human being. But he makes a damn good movie.
He makes it work?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gripping. I was enthralled.
Solid.
So there's the Planet of the Apes, huh? You got anything coming up?
Guardians of the Galaxy? Not that I can think of. Anything you know that we're looking forward to? We're hitting the end of summer.
Yeah.
All the big stuff's come and gone, and not too much has caught my fancy.
No.
Edge of Tomorrow. Surprisingly good.
I didn't see it. I kind of...
This was Tom Cruise jumpsuit?
The Tom Cruise. Yeah, exosuit.
Yes.
Groundhog Day with guns.
Groundhog Day plus Halo is the way I was describing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt, total badass. Nice to see a strong female lead in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that reminds me. So, do you know if the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, did it pass the Bechdel test? Are there two women who, A, have names, B, have speaking parts, and C, speak about something other than a man? I guess you could talk about an ape. That would be okay.
Okay, yeah, there is a female ape. There's only really one female human character.
Okay.
And there's only one female ape character who have speaking lines, as much as the ape speaking through sign language.
Sure.
I don't believe they actually... They're in a scene together,
uh-huh.
And they may say a couple words.
Oh, that...
But there's no...
That's a hilarious out. If that works, I may have to see it just... On the basis of that.
Well, I mean, the basis of the movie is that most of humanity's been wiped out by this virus.
So it's a pretty slim cast.
So there's it's a very small cast.
Okay, okay.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
I can buy it. Is the Bechdel test, is it a real barometer for quality, or is it just kind of a interesting sociological...
Yeah, it's really that. So it was invented sort of in a comic by
is
Alison
it a drinking game?
Bechdel.
No.
I don't know if you could really turn it into that long of a game, but it was meant to be kind of a, just kind of an off-the-cuff joke in a comic, but some people have turned that into an actual, like, let's see how many movies pass it, and it turns out a lot don't.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't necessarily mean that the movie is good, nor especially, like, female-centric or anything like that. It's just...
It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. And it's...
That
and it's,
most movies
it's,
fail.
Yeah.
Don't pass
it's
it
still amazing how few movies pass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's low.
Yeah, we talked about that way back on the episode with my coworker Jenny. Yeah. Yeah.
Episode 42.
I don't know if it's 42. But.
Come on, go with me, man. No one's going to fact check.
Especially not us.
Yeah, that's just true. If we don't do it, we can't expect anyone else to do it.
Okay, sweet. Well, the ball's in your court.
Okay. What's my thing? I think my thing... boils down to improvisation is my thing. I've kind of been thinking about it a little too much, maybe, about like how what I like about the show, and really it's that it's not it really is not like scripted or programmed like at all.
Nope.
I mean, we joke about how we don't prep that much, and we don't, and I think that does come across in both, like, kind of good and bad.
Right.
But from the good point of view, I think it's a very natural conversation when we're on, and the guests, when we have them, tend to like that, I think. It ends up being very natural, as of course, right? It's a natural conversation. See, this is the part where it's bad. Right?
Yes, it's a natural conversation.
He's going full Shatner on this.
Episode 100, I have to at least try.
But yeah, I think not programming it too much is one of the strengths of the show. So I like that.
And I think it helps keep it current.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that, I don't know how much that works for a podcast format where you don't know when the person's going to be listening to it. but as far as making it on a weekly basis, I learn lots of new things.
Yeah.
And new stuff that's happening with technology and in the world. And I think it keeps it fresh and fun.
And you're right. That is something that we, or at least I noticed that I do more of, is that there's a dedicated, like, not that much time, but there is a dedicated block of time where I just go through and look at different tech news or entertainment news, and over the course of the week I'll file away links for things that I think are interesting or stories that I hear on, like, NPR or whatever. And I do listen to it a little more, probably a lot more critically than I think I used to. I know we've vetoed a couple topics because the headline was good, and then we read the article, and it's like, this isn't very well written.
Damn clickbait.
Yeah, we do not stoop to, Uproxx and Upworthy, and...
it's a low bar.
Sometimes not a thing.
Sometimes not even, like, BuzzFeed. It's just, like, not a thing.
Not a thing.
But I think if I had to kind of secondarily, my thing right now, though, is I'm messing around with a 3D printer. At work, yeah. I haven't printed anything. We did print we have printed, like, a couple things at work, but I'm looking into printing your logo, actually.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah. So that would be exciting, I think, because you gave it to me as a Illustrator file, and that's
super,
all it takes, because it's just
super 3D printable.
Yeah, it's just vectors. It's just math. Mm-hmm. And that's all 3D printer is. Just makes math.
Math and mass.
Yeah.
Dude, they are very cool. It's something I messed around with a fair amount in the college experience. It's a 3D printer. Between a 3D printer and a laser cutter, and get some shit made.
Yeah.
It's really satisfying. Well, I remember we printed some captured gears and bearings and stuff, like things that could not be assembled, like something enmeshed in another piece that could not be slid into that piece using, you know, the general laws of physics, had to be produced inside of itself.
Wow.
And then it works, man. Gears turn. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm thinking it'd end up being like a coaster.
I would put my drink on that
coaster. Also work, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's still a little baffling at work what we're using a 3D printer for. I mean, I work for a software company. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with a 3D printer?
Because they're sweet.
Morale?
Yeah, they are pretty sweet, and it does kind of up the morale. So I think part of it is just we're trying to have people relating to real-world objects, even though they're working in, you know, visual interfaces or whatever that are not really real. It's just having something to kind of link it back to physically, so you're like, oh, yeah, your mind works in this way because that's how the physical world works, so maybe I should make computers kind of work similarly.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I mean, the barrier to entry is way lower. They're way cheaper than they were like 10 years ago.
Mm.
So it's like a much less of an investment. And also, they're fucking cool. You get brownie points for something just being cool.
Yeah.
Planning it in the middle of your office. Definitely a thing.
Cool points, still a thing.
Cool points, totally a thing. And yeah, I mean, even though it's a software company, there's only like one, design brain. You know, it works for houses and submarines and graph design, and it's the same thought process. Like, the problem solving's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool merging the physical and mental barrier is way smaller than it's been before. It's like,
yeah,
getting something produced, and you guys don't need shit for like skills. You don't have to go send you down to a wood shop with a bandsaw and fucking lose some techie's finger.
Yeah,
that definitely would be counterproductive.
Yeah. Although I do think there is value in genuinely working with your hands for stuff, even if your job doesn't require it. I think it's just good to get kind of out of that like headspace of whatever your like daily thing is, just have something external to that. And so the
like a podcast
is good because that has nothing to do with my job, literally, so that's kind of nice. But I play more ukulele than I used to, I think, and I think that's as I've gotten better at not compartmentalizing, but really it's almost that. It's like, you know, just better defining the boundaries of work in my life. That's flourished a little more than, and so I like that.
Did work used to be a little bit more all-encompassing?
My name is Alan, and I am a workaholic.
is
the official term. I've been. I don't have my token yet because I did just work essentially for 36 hours straight. Most of that was flying, so it doesn't really count. And I wasn't paid for it because I was flying. That's a weird.
Oh, you should get paid fly time. You get miles. You should get mileage for that. If you're driving your car, you're
right. I do get mileage.
Yeah, 55 cents a mile.
Yeah, you travel
fast on a plane.
That would be pretty cool. But
here's my invoice. I will take that reimbursement.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. My name is Brendan. I am whatever the opposite of a workaholic is.
I am a subsistence worker.
Yes,
I'm with you.
I do enjoy my job, but I've been putting a lot of extra effort into maintaining a work-play balance.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a good thing.
It definitely increases
thing.
The happiness factor.
For sure. I remember right when I was getting out of school, one of the big things that I was hearing from all the advisory kind of people in my life was, just go work for one of these Google LucasArts types. They love your skill set, you know? Like, you're prime candidate. And you look into it, and you're like, oh, yeah, they got fucking foosball courts.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like nacho vendors on site. They got hammocks you can sleep in.
Laundry on site.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's pretty sweet. And then you think, like, wait, these motherfuckers just built the perfect lobster trap. Like, I'm never leaving this place.
It's a trap.
Yeah, that's
a trap.
That's a trap. Yeah, I don't want that. Dude, I'm not a Mon Calamari. I'm
yeah. Yeah, it's a. Yeah. I remember. Recognizing that kind of early on. I mean, it didn't, which is good and bad, because it's good that I recognized, but it's bad because I didn't end up taking one of those jobs and getting like the fat paycheck on the way out either.
Right.
I ended up taking jobs that were a little more reasonable, but I still worked like ungodly numbers of hours and stuff. It's just, I don't know, for me it was just my nature. That's how I had kind of the office culture kind of built in automatically. Both my mom and my dad worked in offices, both in banks, actually. So it's very...
One of those bankers, man?
Yeah.
Occupy! Occupy!
No, not so much, really.
Okay.
But yeah, it was very, you know, old school corporate culture, like, you know, keep your head down, do your work, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is something to be said for that, too. But it is very, like, if you don't come up for air, you won't, kind of a place. So.
Well, I remember when I was younger, I made the statement, I'll never work in a cubicle. Cubicles are terrible. After seeing my father work for however many years in a cubicle and going to see him at work. and now I work in a cubicle, but I feel like my cubicle environment is very different than his.
Yeah.
State working for the state and working for a tech company are very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have Street Fighter machines at the EPA.
Jesus, yeah, there's something to that. Yeah, I've noticed I've got a job maybe 4 or 5 months ago that has a totally, totally sweet mentality towards keeping their employees happy and productive.
Mm-hmm.
We've got like the 4-day work week thing going on.
Oh, okay.
We've
talked about that on the show as a thing, having regular 3-day weekends.
Oh my god, it's so civil. So now I worked Friday yesterday, and all of us are like, alright, man, I'm giving up some of my weekend to be here. Let's get the shit done. Get out.
You know,
it was like that's part of my, you're encroaching. Yeah, I'm getting paid and all, but this is not regular.
Right.
Recognize that, boss man. We're here for a minute. And it was, you know, I mean, it was an intentional move on the part of my boss to set up the company that way. because your employees suck less. We're better. You get that 3-day break and you really replenish, and you still have like a full 2 days of unmolested time where you wake up whenever you want and go to sleep whenever you want, and that's just way different. You come back with a whole different attitude on Monday.
Yeah, sounds all right.
Treating employees well is definitely a thing. I was reading some study today where the states that have increased minimum wage have a higher growth rate than the states that did not. It's like, huh, you pay people more money, they're going to spend more money. You treat people well in the way you schedule your work and plan out the way you run your operation, you're going to have happier employees, better product.
I'm sure someone will argue the actual like numbers about how things work with that, but I think as a general rule, yeah, happy employees tend to be happier.
Happy cows come from California.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I know.
At the very least, with the stuff you actually want to be involved in, like the more cutting edge and the more prestigious and the more high end of any industry, you want the best people, and the best people want to be treated well. That's what you want. So, I mean, if you're fucking running a Quiznos, then maybe 60-hour work weeks is where it's at. Like, fuck them.
Well, if you know, I mean,
if you're working at a Quiznos, I'm impressed because I'm pretty sure they went under. Quiznos, and I wonder why.
Yeah,
that's been my go-to like bottom of the ocean job for 10 years. It's like, well, I mean, worst case scenario is I could always just give up entirely and go manage a Quiznos or something.
No, but you see, notice he would go to management.
Manage, yeah.
That's eventually.
Oh, there, college boy.
I'm saying work my way up to managerial,
right.
Lose all my hair, buy a whatever, turd box.
That's the track I was on until I stepped off that track, thanks to the guy sitting next to me here.
Oh, well, yeah. You were on your way. You just needed a little more info about how it is.
Yeah. Like, wait, there's better stuff? Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's start a podcast. Let's, you know, live life better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this podcast has been, like, life building, career changing, mind altering?
Well, I feel like there is a parallel between increase in life happiness and increase in, like, job satisfaction and creative output.
Yep.
And I feel like the podcast is something that stimulates me on a weekly basis creatively, and I get to learn new stuff. And if you stop learning, then you die. So
do you think it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing? It doesn't really matter where you start, as long as you push one direction, it
just,
kind of drives
everything else.
Yeah, just
start. Do something.
Here.
Do things.
I'm with
things
you.
Are good. Not a thing. Doing not a thing.
It's not a thing. There we go.
That's been my grandpa's go-to for 60 years, whenever somebody in my family is being lame as shit in one way or another, and all mopey and lame, because that happens from time to time with pretty much everyone. Just do something. I don't care what it is. Like, go rescue a cat, or climb a mountain, or volunteer, or build a shed. I don't care. You got to do something. You're driving me crazy. That's his move, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stagnation is not where it's at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some, I would say, businesses where like their whole model is based on consistency and churning out the same product.
Well, I think there's a difference between stagnation and finding a groove.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that the consistency is still like a thing, like cultivating that and making that work. Still counts as doing something, even though you're not doing anything new. You're still, you know, I mean, some things are hard to produce, so you don't. It's not like it's
podcasts
it's,
aren't one of them.
No, so right. If you would like to do a podcast, and we're somehow inspiring you to do so,
yeah,
I feel
if,
like
if
that's,
a couple of chuckleheads like us can do it, anyone can do it. I mean. I was inspired by listening to podcasts to start my own.
Mm-hmm.
I was spending lots of time listening to them, and listening and observing things is not quite the same as doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different kind of satisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, because that's something, and we've talked about that a little bit on the show, when the act of like talking about something whether you're doing it or not, just having that intention, and especially when you're around other people and you're kind of talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to do X, or I'm going to run a marathon, or or I'm going to you know, learn how to play an instrument. And some people will kind of congratulate you upon that, even though you haven't done anything.
Absolutely.
And that, just that, like, kind of little bit of satisfaction is enough for some people to just keep saying they're going to do
something. It's also a trap.
It is a trap.
It's a trap! I read, I don't remember what the fuck it was. It was an article or a blurb or something. It might have even been scholarly. I don't remember. But the gist is, you've got a, there's like a negative correlation for actually doing what you want to do if you talk about it.
Yes.
Before you start it.
Yep.
And there's positive correlation if you write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write some shit down, leave it in a shoebox, look at it every once in a while, don't tell anybody, you probably get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, ruminate on it, you might get it done. If you say, I'm going to Bali and I'm going to start a surf shack, you're not doing shit.
Yeah.
Nothing. Even though that sounks pretty awesome. You guys want to go to Bali and start surfing?
I would be down.
That's a thing.
Wait, do I need to learn how to surf?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
Just rent them.
Okay,
rent
I can sell things.
You know how to drink a Mai Tai? Yeah.
I know how to drink a Mai Tai. I'm an expert.
You're high.
I'm like a level 6 Mai Tai drinker.
We could probably pay a guy to, like, tell us enough stuff about, like, surfing that we could then be okay
learn
with
some
it.
Lingo.
Just
gotta
paddle. Just keep paddling.
Right?
Just stay on the board, man.
Yeah. Wait until the wave tells you to stand up.
Yeah. And stand up.
Just pop up.
Everything I learned about...
go full canoe.
About surfing I learned from...
Point Break?
I was gonna go
Forgetting
with...
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No, what was... oh my god, this awful...
Surf Ninjas?
No. Wow, there have been a lot of surf movies, haven't there?
Chasing Mavericks?
I was going to go Endless Summer.
Endless Summer, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, that's an actual
That's
surf
an actual
movie.
Surfing movie.
No, no, not a thing. I would have accepted Mavericks or Point
Chasing
Break.
Giants? No, Riding Giants.
Riding
that's
Giants.
The one.
That one's impressive. Yeah, that's impressive.
Big whiff.
The one with Back to the Beach with Pee Wee Herman singing Surfin' Bird. Mm.
What?
It's a very, it's a kind of, it's an 80s movie, I think. Late 80s.
Oh, okay.
That's before our time.
Yes, we're going to just keep going here on the show.
On to the next wave.
I'm surprised at the level that I like puns, we've not really made a lot on the show.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan and advocate of punnery.
Yeah, I think I think it's because it does take a little more kind of mental free time than we really have, because we're already engaged in producing the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you had 4 people, there'd be some random pun snipers sitting in the back.
Possibly, yeah.
I feel like that is kind of part of my deal on the podcast. That's part of my thing.
Pun snipers.
Just lay back and snipe.
Nice. or what was it? Throw under bus.
Yeah,
was the,
throw under bus. Yeah,
was the
that is the go to when we have a moment of pause or this is heading in a direction that needs to be corrected. Throw Alan under the bus.
It's been a thing. It's worked out.
It's done with love, man.
Necessity, but mostly love.
Yeah.
But mostly necessity.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we've fallen into any... I'm trying to think of any bad grooves that we fall into. Other than really poor transition modes.
Transitions are hard.
Dude, some of your horrible transitions are comedy gold.
That's what I like about them.
Especially when they're, like, super tenuous. And Brendan here knows they're coming. Or at least catches the drift. And is... immediately just not on board. And you're just trying to drag it along. Like, no. We said, we were talking about turkeys and turnkey and locks, something to that effect. And you're like, Jesus, man. That is brutal. Those are good.
Okay.
I feel like that's it in its own way, its own type of transition. It's on purpose. They're all. It's all part of the show.
All part of the show.
This is an entirely scripted show.
Yeah. Line.
That bit about improvisation was really good when we wrote it down ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And the delivery was so improvisational.
Very naturalistic.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Skilled. Skilled technicians.
So have you thought at all about doing any other, like, even mildly related things, like podcasting on another podcast or YouTube channel? I don't know, anything like that.
Porn?
Yeah, I've considered a career in pornography, yes.
Mostly, I've been doing a lot of watching.
I feel like it could be a good boom. I could be a good boom operator. I'm going to be a boom operator.
That's a euphemism for it.
I haven't really thought about expanding out into YouTube. That seems like a lot of work.
It is.
I feel like a podcast is an appropriate level of work, mm-hmm, for the ratio of work put into enjoyment taken out of.
Okay.
It's a pretty good return rate.
Yeah.
Sure. I am supposed to appear on another person's podcast, but I've been putting that off for a while.
Judas!
I also got you an invite on it, so don't worry.
Oh, okay, all right. All right, I'm down.
I mean, not on my episode. That's my time.
Uh-huh. Well, as soon as you bring video into it, we all have to put pants on, too.
That's true.
It's so,
I mean, we all have pants on today.
These are lies. In person. These are lies, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to keep it professional, but that is
pants off podcast.
So after the 100th episode, we are renaming our podcast. Pants are not a thing podcast.
I would argue that pants are not a thing. Shorts are superior. You need that breezeway
for sure.
Yeah.
Ever do kilts?
No. I know you do.
It's where it's at, man. Let me tell you. It's
what context do you rock a kilt?
I wore a kilt to the San Francisco Pride Parade just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice.
I've done the...
Was it like a rainbow tartan?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just kind of...
Because that should be a thing.
That should be a thing.
Rainbow tartan kilts, I feel like,
gets
the message out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ready to party.
Certainly says something. Certainly says something. Yes.
Says, I know how to drink a Mai Tai. That's what that
says. Showing solidarity, but not in colors, because it's a tartan, not solid.
Oh, okay.
And this is why we don't do puns on this show.
Yep. Nope. No, we don't.
It's a long walk off a short beard.
Yeah. But yeah, so one other podcast, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've given ourselves enough leeway with the broadness of our show that, mm-hmm, we could take it in any direction we wanted.
Yeah.
Like on one, we could talk about anything. It's... thing and not thing is as wide as you could possibly throw a net.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So I feel like if I felt like I needed some other creative outlet, that we would be able to make that work within our format.
Mm. I have considered, because I've been listening to the, we were just talking about it at lunch, the James Bonding podcast, where they kind, mm-hmm, of talk about a movie and then go, and I kind of like the idea of it. I just don't know if I have something that I want to talk about at that degree.
Well, we even, I did an episode like that when we had David on.
Yeah.
You weren't in the episode.
That's I do remember this.
But that's essentially what the whole episode was. We watched the movie LA Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
See episode number, insert
12.
Number here.
It's 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know that
oh,
one.
You're right. It is 12A, 12B. I know that too. But yeah, it was, we sat down, watched a movie, and then discussed the movie. I mean, that was the first episode of the podcast. This podcast, that's exactly what it was. We watched The Dark Knight Rises, and then we talked
about
it.
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. Wow.
So maybe we could throw that into the rotation more.
Okay. All right. That would be good. I know we haven't done a whole episode that way, necessarily, a while.
Right.
In a while. We have done that, but you're right. You're right.
It's been like 80-something episodes.
Does it require a whole episode, or could you guys just do more movie dates?
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, we really should be doing that. I have not been holding up my end of the entertainment business bargain here and seeing movies. recently. We do talk about entertainment a little bit. Like last episode, we talked about True Detective.
Mm-hmm. That was months good. After.
Yes.
It was it's true. It's now true. That season two is ramping up.
Right. But yeah, I do miss that a little bit. So I should probably see a movie or two. Although I have a feeling we'll both see Guardians of the Galaxy in a timely fashion.
Yeah, yeah, I'm seeing that opening night.
Yeah, so
I'm probably gonna see that movie multiple times.
When's it open?
August 1st. So in 2 weeks,
something
cool.
So look for that.
Yeah,
Friday, Sunday,
probably.
It's Friday.
Usually movies come out on Fridays
or like Thursdays nowadays.
Thursdays, yeah.
Wednesdays sometimes.
Mm-hmm. All right, fine.
Just never
be
not,
like that.
Not really a
cultural elitist.
Just making sure you know your place here, yeah. Guest host.
My place is guest hosting.
You're letting us take control of the podcast. Take control of your podcast.
Like, take control of their own podcast. Slacking. Okay, yeah. Alan, life lessons. What have you taken away?
Life lessons. Read the whole article. I mentioned that earlier, but we've done that where we looked at a headline and thought it was good, and then we kind of go through the article a little bit, and like, this is written very, very, very poorly. And it tends to come from, I mean, it's all internet sources for our
we
stuff.
We don't go hard copy.
Yeah, I don't. But
print media,
yeah,
you're
but,
dead.
But that means that literally anyone can write, and if you're going to go out on the internet and do serious research, if there's anything you take away, it's that anyone can write anything on the internet nowadays. So you should
cross check your sources.
Yeah,
and notice that a lot of articles quote to other articles.
Yes.
There's a lot on the internet of analysis of something that someone else has read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a circle jerk of information.
Yep.
That is a visual I don't know I wanted today, but thank you.
word crimes. Which, if you have not seen the new, as of now it's new, Weird Al video for his song Word Crimes, the parody of Blurred Lines.
Oh, I have not.
The grammar nerds out there, do it.
It's
a thing.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, he's doing, it's his hashtag is 8 days, 8 videos.
Yeah.
And so for his new album, which just came out Tuesday, it's like his 13th album or something
Mandatory
like that.
Mandatory fun.
Yeah, he has, he's putting out a music video every day for 8 days.
That dude's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He's a national treasure.
He's hit a peak in like 1994 or something. And kept relatively consistent for that. He might be a robot. He might be some form of cyborg.
No, he doesn't need glasses anymore. They may have just been a ruse the whole time.
He's like Patrick Stewarting. You
know? Yeah, he looks the same
plateau.
Since the early 90s.
Exactly. He's just maintained for 20 years somehow. Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
That's what puns does for you, gentlemen. That's when you step your game up. He's got a pun-based diet and exercises.
Yeah.
It's clearly doing him good.
Just eat it.
Just eat it. Exactly. Oh, God.
How about you, Brendan? What life lessons, I guess?
From the podcast?
Or should you ask it?
Oh,
I don't want to step
whoa.
Here.
Hey! Back in the chair. So, Brendan. Important life lessons, takeaways, insights from the podcast?
I would say that my fear of robot takeover of our world is not as advanced as I thought it was. The more I've learned about it.
Not as warranted, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's happening. It's
clearly,
totally happening.
Clearly.
It's the future. We all need to worry about it. Maybe our children need to worry about it more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But
drones.
The more I see videos on the internet of robots doing things poorly, I feel like we could take them.
But remember, those are on the internet, which robots control.
Oh, gosh,
true that.
Damn it.
And the thing that I always come back to is whenever DARPA or whatever releases a sweet video of something,
yeah,
that's the video they're releasing.
That's
like,
true.
Why
they're
would
15
that...
years ahead of whatever.
Clearly, yeah. They've got a robot that's releasing that video.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're about ready for this. Let's fill the robot. It's just cranking out big dog videos.
Okay, well then lesson unlearned, because it's game over, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to pique your fear. I don't want you sleeping very much.
As if that coffee wasn't enough to,
yeah, right,
to kick that
on. Some good coffee. Ninja Star Coffee Bars, Festival
Ninja
California.
Star Coffee
it's a
bar.
Thing.
Yeah, although you know, we still have yet to get a sponsor. Still,
well, maybe they'll do it. That barista guy looked. No, he's not sponsoring.
He's not sponsoring.
No, not at all.
Maybe some fucking Kickstarter scarf pashmina company, some kind of alpaca yarn.
Got an alpaca farm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. I mean, we're not. I mean, we are. I mean, I don't want to bring the tone down or anything about how
yeah, finish strong,
works.
Alan.
Yeah, but it. I mean, you know, we are operating at a loss, so
only monetarily.
Only monetarily.
Only monetarily.
Not in fun.
That's true.
We're in
That's
the black
true.
With fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
if you, and life enhancement.
This is a life investment.
It's true. We are. We are kind of being entertained by this, so it's
are
not...
Are you not entertained?
Just, I mean, think about it like this. Has this podcast cost you more than, say, a surfboard so far? I'm going two surfboards?
Maybe...
Because them shits break easy.
Maybe three surfboards.
You're at three surfboards.
We might be at three surfboards. Oh, amortized over 2 years.
That's
right.
Surfboard every 8 months, you're doing fine.
Yeah, that's probably okay.
Yeah.
That's probably okay. Yeah. How much does a surfboard cost?
I don't know. $800 to $2,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, money, dude.
So let's say it's
1.6.
It's not that much.
Yeah,
not that much.
Fine.
It's not that much. We're doing okay. We should not open a surf store.
No, we clearly have no concept. Plan Operation Bali is off.
Yeah, we're all putting the labels on things like is. How, is
this one?
How is this
one? Add another zero.
Would you pay
$60 for this surf?
Those are Balinesian dollars.
Oh,
direct
Balin
chicken trade.
This is some sort of rooster-based economy.
I think we just lost all of our listeners in Bali.
No!
Dude.
If I knew a stereotypical Balian name, I'd yell it out right now, but I don't.
Balisian?
Balinesian.
A Balin name?
Or just Balas. Yeah.
Balas, yeah.
Ooh, I like that. All right, we'll go with that.
Well, I think you boys have learned a lot, and I think you should carry on.
Excellent. Well, we hope to. I think we probably got a few more episodes under our belt. I'm not going to say we'll do, a million or so. But
no,
one
that
thing,
mathematically, that does
no,
not
that
work
would be,
out.
That would be very
at a rate of 100 every 2 years,
yeah.
I'm not living that.
Although long. We did think ahead enough that when we named our files, we used 3 digits in the name. So it's not going to go to like 99 and then 100 is going to be first.
We're not
going to
have a podcast Y2K problem?
No. No, no, no.
Okay, good.
At least not for another 900 episodes.
So I've been prepping for nothing.
Wow, prepping for the robot apocalypse and then now...
There's
the,
a lot of prepping to do. The robot apocalypse, the viral apocalypse, peak oil,
mm-hmm.
Penguin supremacy, all these things prepare. And, you know, just buy a shotgun that
Wait.
Really covers all of it.
Shape-shifting reptilian overlords. Can't forget about shape-shifting reptilian overlords.
That's true.
Is that V? Is that where we're going?
I don't know, but it's clearly a thing on the internet.
Okay. All
right. They're there.
All right.
Google, YouTube that shit. Oh my god. I saw such a good shape-shifting reptilian overlord rant by this proper E-sounding British bro. So good. He claims that one of Obama's bodyguards is a shape-shifting reptilian. Google that,
yeah.
Not a Pink Podcast
oh, yeah.
listeners. Shape-shifting reptilian overlord Obama bodyguard. And prepare to laugh.
Awesome.
And if you smoke weed, smoke a bunch of weed and then watch that. It can't go wrong.
Excellent. Well, that seems like a good a place as any to
100.
Put this one in. 100, yay!
100.
Good job.
Podcast centennial?
No, that still means 100 years.
Damn it. Centepisode?
Centepisode.
Centepisode.
The centepisode.
I like that.
I like that too.
Right on. Skylar, thanks for hosting. This was a great
thank you for being here.
Well, it's not a round table discussion. It's more of an oval table, but I think it worked out well.
No, we did well.
oval table discussion. The centepisode oval table.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a thing.
I'll see you guys in 100 episodes.
Sounds good, man.
Till next time.